Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Digital and Social Media Sports Podcast. Thank you so much for downloading and listening today. Have a really, really good episode for you guys. We have former NFL player and now an NFL media superstar, Ross Tucker, on the podcast today to talk about all of his podcasts, as well as his strong presence across the sports media landscape, from podcasting to websites to email to television to writing. Just a really impressive guy. I'm going to have a great discussion with him. But before we get into our interview with Ross Tucker, we have this episode's helpful tool. And this episode's helpful tool is more like an idea to better utilize Twitter and and your ability to tag users in photos. Now, we all know about sharing photos on Twitter and how it's a good idea to do so. And now you can do so with up to 4 different photos. And you can also, of course, now upload video or GIFs as well. But the big thing to take away is that you can tag up to 10 users in a photo. Now, we've all had that time where we've had a tweet that we want to make sure we tag others in, whether it's a partner, someone you want to shout out, an author or something that you like that they wrote, or any number of reasons why, and you're stuck with that 140-character limit. But here's a way you can include up to 10 other folks' Twitter handles in your tweet simply by tagging them in the photo. And what will that do? It'll pop up in their notifications that they have been tagged in a photo. So if it's an infographic or a photo from an article or a photo from a blog that you wrote or anything under the sun, or even a player if you're for a sports team or a media member, it'll get their attention and get on their radar, and also show it, your followers on who you're tagging in the photo as well. Really easy to do. Whenever you upload a photo through the Twitter app or through Twitter.com, you'll see the option of the question of who's in this photo. Just click on that, and then you can tag, again, up to 10 people in the photo, and they'll be notified just the same way as if you had mentioned them in the tweet in the first place. So are you tagging folks in your photos today? It's a great way to get more on the radar of people you follow on Twitter and people you want to be interacting with on Twitter, which is a really underutilized thing to make connections on the medium. So get started with it today. Next time you upload a photo or next time you run out of characters in that tweet to mention enough people, tag them in the photo and see how it works. See how it gets you more engagement, more reach, and gets you on the radar of more of those people that you want to interact with on Twitter. All right, that's this episode's helpful tool. I hope to see lots of you tagging folks in Twitter in your photos, especially when it's relevant, of course, and to use it to make more connections today. All right, that's this episode's helpful tool. We will be right back to have a really good conversation with Ross Tucker. Stick around. All right, that was this episode's helpful tool, something that has been around for a while, but maybe not used enough, and that's tagging people in Twitter photos. A great way to get more people on your Twitter radar without having to take up those 140 characters. But we're not here to talk about Twitter today. We have a really good guest on today's show. We are delighted to be joined by someone that I'm a big fan of, Ross Tucker, a former NFL player, now an NFL broadcaster, analyst, host, motivational speaker, and actually hosts 3 podcasts, including the Ross Tucker Football Podcast, as well as Fantasy Feast Eaten, all about fantasy football, and a really cool niche broadcast called Even Money, where they go over sort of the gambling side of football. As well as you can check out RossTucker.com and follow him at RossTuckerNFL on Twitter, and also the RFP, RTF podcast for the podcast Twitter as well. So welcome to the podcast today, Ross, after that mouthful of an introduction for you with all the stuff that you do.
Yeah, that's my fault, Neil, not yours. I got too much stuff going on, but thanks a lot for having me. It's an honor, man. I think this is a cool, very cool podcast that you have, and I'm such a big believer of podcasts that someone like you asked me to be on it, let's do it.
I love it. And you know, it's all about digital and social media and sports, and you are someone who is very strong in that area, so looking forward to picking your brain a little bit about how you really engage your community and engage your fans out there. But before we get into the meat of the discussion, just give us a quick background of yourself, your career path, how you went from playing ball at Princeton in the NFL to really transitioning to a career in broadcasting and analysis and hosting.
Right, so I'll try to be as brief as I can. I'm from outside of Philadelphia, Reading, Pennsylvania, actually a small town called Wyomissing, and I grew up with like a lot of us, I guess, a gigantic passion for sports, in particular football. I actually thought, Neil, I'd end up going to Syracuse, because my dream was always to either write for Sports Illustrated or be a broadcaster. But it just so happened that I turned out to be a much better player than I ever envisioned. You know, my dad is 5'9", 170 pounds, so needless to say, I did not think that I was destined to be an NFL offensive lineman. So I ended up, you know, thinking I'd go to Syracuse or somewhere like that. And then my junior year of high school, I had a pretty good season at about 6'3.5", 210 pounds, and started getting recruited by a bunch of colleges. My dream had always been kind of to play for Penn State, but I had kind of given that dream up, and I was too much of a late bloomer for them, but I started getting recruited by some of the Ivy League schools, so ended up going to Princeton, really enjoyed my time there. Still wasn't really thinking about being a professional football player until I saw some Ivy League guys get drafted. I thought, you know what, if those guys can get drafted, maybe I can just get a shot in camp or something, that'd be cool. So I did internships, you know, during my college years like everybody does, and I ended up accepting a job with Lehman Brothers on Wall Street Finance my senior year. And then, thankfully, the Washington Redskins, Marty Schottenheimer, saved me from that career, and I was able to go instead to the Redskins, and I made the team as an undrafted free agent. And from there, I actually deferred my Lehman Brothers job for a year because I thought, yeah, this might just be 1 year. You know, I'm not gonna expect this to be a long career. So I kind of looked at it every year like that. So then every offseason, I would get a different internship with Merrill Lynch, or when I played for the Cowboys, Roger Staubach Commercial Real Estate Company. So I really kind of leaned away from the media thing, Neil, because it just seemed like that's what all the other guys in the locker room said they were going to do. And I knew, you know, because of my background, that I had some other interest in that I could probably get, you know, a job somewhere else. Plus, I noticed that seemingly the best jobs in the broadcasting industry typically went to, you know, the guys that were the best players, and that just wasn't me. Look, I'm thrilled that I was a 7-year journeyman, but it's not exactly a ticket for Monday Night Football. But then my last year, I didn't know it would be my last year, but my last year, I went to the first ever NFL broadcasting boot camp. I still, at that time, Neil, figured I'd probably do finance or maybe, you know, start a small business like I did with Go Big Recruiting, and then maybe just do the Princeton games on the weekend on Saturday during the fall. But I knew I had to have football, you know, somehow in my life. And so I went to the broadcast boot camp. It went pretty well. And I came away with that kind of thinking, you know what? A lot of guys can talk on TV. Some can talk on the radio, but I just didn't think many guys could really write. And I just thought, you know, everybody's getting their information about the NFL on the internet these days. It's 2007. I said, what if I'm the first or one of the only former players that actually writes about what it's really like? Because these writers, they don't really know. You know, they're great guys. They're good writers. They don't really know what it's really like. So that was what I thought could be my niche, my competitive advantage, etc. So I told Peter King that, and that led to me, when I got hurt with the Redskins, writing a piece for him, a Monday Morning Quarterback. And it's really interesting because I got hurt, I was on IR, my career was essentially over, but that really kind of triggered a bunch of media opportunities. From there, I got contacted. You know, I got a job with Sports Illustrated, started doing stuff with Comcast, started doing stuff with SiriusXM, NFL radio. So me introducing myself to Peter King, the break I got there writing for him, is really what sort of triggered and started everything. And so, you know, since then I've had seemed like a million different media gigs at this point. Started the podcast, you know, after I was doing the podcast for ESPN, which is funny because ESPN hired me to write for them, you know, to lead Sports Illustrated, to write for them. And I said, okay, you know, it was a good deal for me. And they said, we'd also like you to be our podcast host. Are you interested? I said, absolutely. Neil, I literally had no idea what a podcast was.
That's what I was thinking, yeah.
Yeah, this might have been 2000. I said, I would love to, ESPN. Thank you, yeah. I've always wanted to do that. No idea what it was. And so this was like 2009 maybe 2010 even. And so I started doing the podcast over there for a few years, and then sort of caught wind of the fact that because I was doing so much television work for NBC, that it wasn't real likely that I was going to continue to do the podcast there at ESPN. So I thought, you know what? I got a bunch of people that listen to me, a bunch of people that like listening to me. Why not start my own thing? And so the people can listen to me there. And so that's exactly what I did. And hence the Ross Tucker Football Podcast. Last year I added a couple more. You mentioned it, Fantasy Feats for Fantasy Football and Even Money for gambling, betting, wagering. And so I got one more I think I'm going to add this fall that I'm very excited about. So I'll release the details of that a little bit later. But I absolutely love the podcast medium for a lot of different reasons. But the flexibility, you know, I can put sort of the live reads or the advertising in when I want to. Mm-hmm. It's not as rigid. I don't really have a boss, kind of on my own. We talk about what I want to talk about. I get the guests I want to get. So the negatives are it's kind of all on me. The positives are it's all on me.
Totally. And let's go into that a little bit. I mean, when you decided to, you obviously, you know, you're preparing for a career after football kind of the whole way along, even if it was more of a finance career before the broadcast boot camp. But when you did split off from all those contacts with SI, from ESPN, and kind of took that a little bit of that audience with you, what was it like sort of going out on your own and taking this Ross Tucker brand and really trying to build it without the big mothership in the background?
Well, it was exciting, but it was also nerve-wracking because, you know, at ESPN I had a contract, and I was getting essentially X amount of dollars per podcast, no matter how many people listened, right? So it was sort of turnkey for me. I knew that money was coming in, and, you know, my producer there, Jay Soderberg, did a nice job of sort of coming up with the format for the podcast. So it was not really heavy lifting for me, and I didn't have to worry about anything else related to the podcast. So, but it was exciting to know that I was actually going to own something and that this is going to be my baby. You know, the podcast is going to be my baby. And I was really fortunate that I did a nice job on behalf of the clients over at ESPN. You know, some of the advertisers like State Farm and Stamps.com and ScoreBig.com, mm-hmm. they had really seen significant results when they used me over at ESPN. And so I was able to get them, you know, with basically introductory pricing on the podcast. And so I was able to have revenue from day one. You know, it was a startup business that was profitable from day one because it wasn't really a startup in the sense that I had established myself in the industry and I had established myself with those particular advertisers. So that made it a lot easier. Yeah. But then I had to see how much of the audience would come over. It's amazing, Neil. I still probably once a week have somebody say to me, "Ross, I just saw you're doing your own podcast now. That's great. I really miss you on the ESPN one." And it's like, dude,
where have you been?
I've been doing this for 3 years. Like, and I tried as much as I could to get people to, you know, follow me on social media so that they would know about the new venture, the new podcast. But let's just say it was certainly a drop off in the numbers from ESPN. That's just such a big platform over there. So totally. It was a significant drop-off. But slowly but surely, you know, I'm kind of building it back up to where I want it to be. And, you know, it's a lot now. I do have a sales agency, Podcast One, mm-hmm. but I do some of the sales still myself. And, you know, now I have to do the outline for the podcast. I have to be the one that gets the guests. So
wow.
Definitely a decent amount more work, but it's also more rewarding, both personally and professionally, financially.
I bet. A couple quick questions off that. I mean, one, talk about how kind of you really have enlisted your fans and your loyal listeners, I myself included, to really to help you spread the word and help you build that brand and get out there and make sure that you have those listeners so that you can continue to do this and continue to provide everything you do. I mean, everything from social media engagement to always answering fan questions over email to now having your email newsletter. How have you really used social media and digital media to help your fans help you?
It's a great question, Neil, and there's a couple different answers to that. So, number one, one of the things I really love about podcasts is this community that I have, people like you, the Tuckheads. Yeah, this is my crew, right? These are my people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so TV gigs, radio gigs, and everything else, that writing gigs, that, those will come and go over the years, but I feel like my podcast listeners, that's my community. Those are my people that I hope to foster that community and that group for years to come. So they are my top priority, and I try to make that clear. Plus, you know, my competition is really probably the podcast over at ESPN and the podcast over at NFL.com.
Mm.
And they just have, you know, gigantic platforms, brand that, you know, people find out about those podcasts just because they put them at the bottom of, you know, everything you read over at NFL.com, and as they should, by the way. So I just don't have the platform, the microphone, so to speak, that they have. So I really need my listeners to spread the gospel, so to speak, of being a listener to my podcast. Plus, you know, not being associated with like ESPN or NFL, I'm able to do some things and say some things that I don't think that they are.
Mm-hmm.
But also then, you know, they don't have as much advertising as I do, because they don't have to. You know, they don't look at that. They look at it as a way to continue to engage with customers that frequent their other platforms, and right. So
it's another channel for them.
Yeah, it's not really an additional moneymaker for them. It's just a way to provide their audience with additional levels of engagement.
Mm-hmm.
So that's tough, you know, when my competition, you know, doesn't really have very many advertisements. That makes it tough, you know, because then I have to strike the balance of, okay, well, I don't want to overdo any advertisement, because then, you know, I might lose some listeners. Versus, I'm not doing this as a charity either. You know, this is a professional, you know, business for me. And I have two young daughters, 3 and 2. And as I mentioned on the podcast a lot, I take my time very, very seriously. So if I'm going to do the podcast, because it's not just the 35 minutes of recording it. There's a lot more that goes into it for me. And so I really want to try to maximize it. So from a revenue standpoint, there's always that balance, right, of revenue versus content for me, which is a good problem to have. You know, the other issue would be nobody wants to advertise, and then
right.
I wouldn't be able to do it. So, you know, it's interesting, you know, the podcast, I don't really talk about this much on my podcast, but a lot of my advertisers are what they call direct response advertisers. So, you know, they know exactly how many of my listeners go to their website and use my code. And so it's almost entirely based on how many of my folks go there and use the code. So I'm really heavily dependent on folks like you to support the podcast, to take advantage of those offers, to use the code. Otherwise, the advertisers won't stay, and I won't be able to do the podcast long term if I don't have advertising.
Right, you have to back that up a little bit. A couple of last questions for you in the minutes we have left. The Ross Tucker, host of the Ross Tucker's World podcast, among many other things. And that is, when it does come to trying to really compete against the big boys, so to speak, with only so much time in the day. Are you, to some degree, intentionally unique? I mean, sometimes there are so many angles that you explore on your podcast that maybe they don't, you know, whether it's having someone from the CFL on, having your wife on recently, talk about being the wife of an NFL player, having rookies on, business analysts. Is that sort of part of the play, is let me do what the ESPN and NFLs of the world aren't necessarily doing?
It's not. I mean, that's probably an offshoot of it. I don't really look at that competition as when I'm coming up. I just try to do something that I think is interesting, mm-hmm. because usually if I think it's interesting, then, you know, the listeners are going to think it's interesting as well. So if I want to know what happened with Michael Sam and learn more about the CFL, I kind of think my listeners will as well. And, you know, that recent podcast with my wife, you know, we don't really talk about that. I don't know if you could tell, Neil, but I never really asked her that. You know, we never really talked about it. It's just, you know, you get so busy in your life. I never really said to her, how come you never watch football anymore? You know, she used to, like, kind of be into it. So I don't really look at it that way. It's just kind of what I think is interesting. And in terms of the competition, what's interesting about it is, there really isn't any other podcast that I'm aware of that's really with a former player like me, right? So there are other things out there, but they're just very, you know, those, and I listen to them, and they do a great job, but it's just different. You're just not going to get, you know, and maybe they could say I can't do some of the things they can do, which is true, but they certainly can't have the perspective that I do on most things.
Very much so, and that certainly is something that I value a lot and why I continue to listen to your podcast. And real quick, before we get to this episode's charitable stat, harkening back to really the way your community really is devoted to you and probably why you're so successful with advertisers, is that it never ceases to amaze me how, you know, every week people write into you, fans write into you telling you that, you know, they bought from Amazon using your link just because they want to support the podcast in any way they can, or even folks donating through PayPal because they want to give back and see the podcast continue to succeed. So is that really a big part of it when it comes into play, is that you have earned the trust and really the support of your listeners that and why you're able to be successful with some of those direct response ads?
Trust is gigantic, Neil, which is why I don't take on an advertiser unless I check them out first and believe in them, because the things I'm telling the people, you know, Dollar Shave Club, like, I'm a member. I get it every month. You know, I mean, SeatGeek, I downloaded the app. I have it. You know, I check that for tickets. I really believe in these things. I can't even tell you how many flowers I get from 100flowers.com mm-hmm. for people or Sherry Fairy. So that trust is really important. There's no question about it. And in terms of, you know, the email, you know, I want to be interactive with the audience, and I want to provide them with value. So if they're going to take the time to use one of my sponsors and or Amazon or PayPal or whatever, then I'm going to reward them for that. You support me, I'm going to support you by giving you a shout-out on the podcast or answering whatever specific questions you have. I think that's a pretty fair deal, and evidently so do a lot of the listeners.
It really is cool to see how you really have that two-way communication, and it really is a true community and not just, you know, not just you broadcasting to the world, so to speak. But I have so many more questions for you, Ross. We could sit here all day picking your brain about how you've had so much success with the podcast, with Go Big Recruiting. But we'll have a little fun with you coming up in our Ross Review segment, some quick-hitting questions. But first, we have the episode's shareable stat coming right back. Fantastic discussion with Ross Tucker. Really could pick his brain all day and ask him questions about how he really has developed that trusting, engaged community, which in the end not just makes it easier for him to have success with his podcast and continue to grow his brand and everything under it, but also leads to more success with his advertisers, because his fans really do trust and know that he's only promoting brands that he believes in himself. And it's really cool to see that play out in real life as opposed to some of the endorsers who, you know, vouch for McDonald's and won't go near a Big Mac to save their lives or endorse Nike but end up wearing a bunch of Adidas gear. Just really cool to hear about that angle from Ross, among other things. But we'll have a little more fun with Ross coming up in our Ross Review segment with some fun, quick-hitting questions. But before we get to that with Ross Tucker, we have this episode's shareable stat. This episode's shareable stat comes from some research done by Edison Research in the month of April and May 2015. And that revealed that one-third of all Americans aged 12 years or older have listened to at least one podcast in the last month. One-third of all Americans ages 12 or older. So those of you who are still grasping what a podcast is, which maybe won't be many of you listening to this podcast because you're well aware of how the medium works, but it bodes well for the growth of the medium, especially as we see, you know, cars become smarter and more connected to the podcast space. We see the growth of audio in general and just the growth of multimedia in general. So you can now stream a podcast while you are catching up on your Twitter feed, for example, or get podcasts recommended to you based on your interests and likes, and really becoming a more mobile, audio-friendly world and multimedia-friendly world. And this stat really speaks to that one-third of all Americans have listened to at least one podcast, and that number will likely grow in the near future and will be something to keep an eye on. All right, that's this episode's shareable stat. Think about it. Should your organization or team be looking at a podcast, or is podcasting a good place to advertise for you? Any number of things that can come out of this shareable stat. So while you think about it, get ready because we're going to come right back with our Ross Review segment with some quick-hitting questions with NFL broadcaster, analyst, motivational speaker, podcast host, and really every hat you can think of as we get to know Ross Tucker a little bit more in our Ross Review segment coming right at you. All right, that was this episode's shareable stat, and it's very relevant for our guest today, Ross Tucker, and that is that one-third of all Americans 12 years of age or older have listened to at least one podcast in the last month. One-third. So podcasts are growing. That's good news for our guest, Ross Tucker, who has the Ross Tucker Football Podcast, as well as the Fantasy Feeds the Eaton Podcast and the Even Money Podcast, and one yet to be announced. But Ross, you survived your interview, had a great time with it. Are you now ready for the Ross Review?
Let's do it. I love the name of that. Let's do it.
Not quite the big show, but we'll try to do our best. All right, number one for you. The most unusual Ask Ross question you've ever received from a fan.
Oh, geez. Probably people wanting to either stop by my house or grab something to eat, you know, near where I live. I just, you know, as much as I love my listeners, you know, it's always a little interesting when you don't really know somebody personally. So certainly I really value my privacy. So I might be open to meeting somebody somewhere sometime, but not at my house.
Right. I wouldn't imagine having someone, some stranger knocking your door as a diehard fan would be the most kosher thing. All right, number two for you, Ross. Your favorite, or maybe just among your favorite, guests you've ever had on your podcast, and why?
Well, it'd probably be pretty bad if I didn't say my wife, right? I mean, I think I'd get in a decent amount of trouble if I didn't say my wife, but I thought that was excellent. I really enjoyed, you know, Herschel Walker. I thought that was interesting. He's just a really interesting guy. Really, I feel like we've been on a roll lately with some of the folks that we've had on, but probably my wife, because I think that that's an aspect of the NFL that people don't really delve into, and that's probably the most positive feedback I think I can remember getting for a guest on my podcast in a really long time.
Very much so, and definitely a good point. It really did bring out an angle of the sport that really we aren't exposed to enough. All right, how about number three for you? I'd like to hear this answer from you. Why do NFL O-linemen make the best broadcasters and analysts?
Couple reasons, and I agree with you. Other than quarterback, offensive linemen have to be the smartest, most knowledgeable guys on the team just because of the nature of blocking schemes and defensive adjustments. And also, I think, you know, offensive linemen are usually the most appreciative and the most down to earth, right? So if they get a broadcasting job, they're excited about it. They put their heart and soul into it, but they also don't think that they're great because, you know, they haven't been told that they're a star their whole life. So I think the combination of hardworking, knowledgeable, and down to earth.
Very good point. All right, number four for you, Ross. Coming to the end here with Ross Tucker. Make sure to follow him on Twitter at Ross Tucker NFL. Great follow. The most talented teammate you've ever had, and also if this is a different answer, the best teammate you ever had.
Well, the most talented teammate I ever had, two guys came to my mind right away, and that is LeVar Arrington. When I was with the Washington Redskins in 2001 and 2002. He is as gifted naturally athletically as anybody I've ever been around, but unfortunately, you know, the injury bug caught him. And the other one's Jason Peters, who's still in the NFL, left tackle with the Philadelphia Eagles. He was a 320-pound practice squad tight end when I was with him in 2004 with the Buffalo Bills, and just amazing to see the career he's had. The first day they moved him to the offensive line, he was unbelievable. It was amazing to watch.
That's fantastic. All right, number five for you, Ross. A player or media member that you think uses social media exceptionally well, and why?
Ooh, that's a good one, too. I like people that sort of, I don't want to say stay in their lane, but really provide good nuggets for whatever it is that their focal point is. So a guy like Joel Corey, who writes for CBSSports.com, he's a cap guy and contract guy. I find a lot of his stuff to be pretty valuable. I enjoy his stuff. And a guy I started following recently, Joe Banner, you know, former team president for the Eagles and the Browns, is actually very open, honest, outspoken on Twitter, which I did not anticipate, and it's interesting to follow him as well.
Definitely. It's those guys that you really have that credibility and are willing to be honest about it. That's great. All right, last two quick ones for you. What is the future of the Ross Tucker brand? I mean, where would you like to see yourself and your media outlets grow in the next 3, 5, 10 years?
Well, I'd like to see the continued growth of the podcast, whether that's adding some more in different sports that maybe I don't host, or just continuing to grow the three I have and the one I'm adding. I really like the medium, and it's also nice, most of the other media stuff I do, you have to travel for. So one of the real positives of the podcast, I do it from home. And so that's something that I really like about it. So I would like to, you know, I'm always open to the TV stuff and the videos and radio, but my top priority is to continue to grow and maybe have the biggest NFL podcast out there if I don't already.
Very good. And it's definitely going to be helpful to the podcasts of the world as cars get more attached to online networks and you have smart dashboards. And you know, I think you were definitely well ahead of the game with the Even Money podcast, really anticipating the growth of gambling and sports there. So definitely you're on the right direction for sure. And I think 5, 10 years from now, the Ross Tucker brand will be even bigger, even better. Last one for you, Ross. When you're not getting as much carnitas as the boss will allow in your Chipotle burrito, I know you enjoy a good press meal. So what is the best press meal of all time? What was it? Where was it?
Oh, geez. Well, two jump out, and that is Green Bay always has a ton of great stuff, including brats. And I'm a sucker for brats. So Green Bay for sure is one that jumps out. You know, brats and mashed potatoes, just a bunch of different options there. And then surprising to me, the Tampa Bay Bucks had terrific. All I remember is that there was all kinds of healthy options, delicious options, and then there was a Bananas Foster station that I made. I may have hit up three different times.
Oh, geez, that's fantastic. Wow, well, Tampa got shouted out by our Twitter guest as being really good on Twitter, and now they're getting shouted out for having some great press meal food. I love that. All right, Ross, you survived the Ross review. Now, your chance before we get out of here, your social media all-star follow. Maybe one of the guys you mentioned before, someone on Twitter, who they are, why they're worth following.
Well, if you like sort of the intersection at times of sports and Hollywood, I'd recommend my college roommate, Kyle Brandt, who is actually a producer for Jim Rome on both radio and television. So he's just at Kyle Brandt. He'd be a pretty good follow.
Excellent.
And then I'm sure you talked to him, but I enjoy Andrew Brandt's stuff. I really do. I enjoy his take on the business side of the NFL. So those are two that would jump out to me.
Very good.
Kyle Brandt and Andrew Brandt.
Yeah, I was going to say. And, you know, I think maybe as the Ross Tucker brand continues to grow, you should bring Kyle back on board and have him work as a producer for you.
And oh, man, it would have to grow a lot more for me to be able to afford him, that's for sure.
And Ross, one last more time, how about where can we find you and also everything under your umbrella on digital and social media?
Well, on Twitter, it's at Ross Tucker NFL, or if you want to make sure you have the latest information on all the podcast stuff, including special offers, it's at RTF Podcast. Or if you're a Facebook person, facebook.com/RossTuckerNFL. Or you can always hit me up over at RossTucker.com, and there's a way to email me there as well. I get all those right on my phone. So a bunch of different ways to get in touch if you're so inclined. I'd love to hear from you.
Excellent. I definitely recommend following and listening to Ross and subscribe to the podcast because that way you get them delivered right to you. And definitely someone who's as good an interview as he is a podcast host. Cannot thank you enough for your time today, Ross Tucker. And it was great learning from you. And best of luck moving forward as we approach the next football season and you continue to have success.
My pleasure, Neil. Thanks so much for having me.
Thank you so much again to Ross Tucker for coming on the podcast today. Really appreciate him giving us some of his time. A really busy guy, as you guys can tell, and someone that I've been a fan of for a long time. Really appreciate what he does for the sports media space, bringing in that different angle and bringing in that angle from a former player and some of the more unique guests out there. And he really just does a great job with three podcasts every week in the off season and a podcast every weekday during the season, as well as some of the growth of the Fantasy Feast Eaten podcast and the Even Money podcast. So really cool to see what Ross is doing in the space, and cannot thank him enough for coming on the podcast on our podcast today. But that'll do it for this episode of the Digital and Social Media Sports Podcast. As always, I am your host, Neil Horwitz. You can follow me on Twitter at NJH287, and you can get more info on the podcast and other great content at dsmsports.net. Thanks so much again for listening, and we'll see you next time on the Digital and Social Media Sports Podcast.